wrong. But she's away for a few days with a couple of my daughters and a granddaughter. They're having a few days, kind of girly time, as they call it. One of my daughters lives up in Norfolk, so they've gone up there to see her, and they're stopping in a nice hotel and with a swimming pool and a spa facilities. And I said, well, I'm going down to Cheriton. I said, you can come with me before you go, you know, rather than go up there. But she's gone up there, so. Okay, I really want to try and, over the last two or three times I've been down here, I've been talking about God, when the Holy Spirit comes, one of the things that happens that we will receive, or we should receive, God-prompted dreams and visions. And that last song we sang in the first verse referred to it. And I really want to kind of bring this short series to an end this morning, if I can, if we get that far. And I believe that when Psalm 139 talks about God knitting us together in our mother's womb and putting us together as people, our makeup, I believe he, in that makeup, is not just our physical bodies, but he puts within us abilities and desires. And I think when the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it kind of awakens those things that God has put within us. And God is a God of variety as well. And I've only got to look around this room and see all the different people here. One of my kind of pastimes, if you like, certainly when I'm on holiday, I like sitting in an outside cafe or something like that, having a cup of coffee or a breakfast or something like that, and just sitting watching people go by. They call it people watching. And I love doing that. And you see all types and sizes and shapes, and people walk past in clothes, and you think, did they actually go into a shop and pay money for that? You know, because people are different. And when you said this morning, oh Lord, I don't know why you gave me missions. Well, that's what God put within you. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't worry about it, because God puts those things in our lives, those desires, that thing in our heart. And we serve him through those and with those. And that's what God has done for you. I can see as you speak about missions, there's something within your heart that overflows. So don't be ashamed. Don't be worried about it. Be the best you that you can be. And that's really what I want to talk about this morning, as being the best us that we can be. And, you know, we see it in nature, all the differences and things like that, and it's the same with us. So what turns me on may not turn you on. What I got a heart for, you may not have a heart for. And that's okay, because God made us all different. But what I want to say to you this morning, really at the end of it, I try and encourage you to be the best you that you can be. And as I said, when we've been talking about, we read from Acts chapter 2 about giving us dreams and visions, there God, what I'm talking about is God-prompted dreams and visions. And we spoke last week, the Apostle Paul puts it in a slightly different way. He calls it his that. He said, I want to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. And Jeremiah talks about God having plans for us. It's his plans. He says, they're written in my book. And in Psalm 39, it talks about our days being written in his book. And sometimes we want to write our own book, but it's far better to do what the things that are in God's book. And the most important thing in life I've come to realise is that I want to follow, if you like, the heart that God has put within me. And it'll be different for you, because God puts different things and will put different things in your heart. But the Apostle Paul talks about us as a church, or us as believers, being part of a body, and we see there that the body has all different parts. And if every part works properly, then the whole body functions. And really what I want to encourage you this morning is to play your part. Whatever part you are in this body of believers, play your part to the best that you can. And then the whole body will work. If something's not functioning properly, then it affects the whole body. If my leg or something like that isn't functioning properly, I kind of walk and that affects the other leg. And then it affects my back. And then it affects sometimes my thinking because I get fed up with it. And so what I'm saying, if you here this morning, if you're part of this congregation or you want to be part of this congregation, I want to encourage you to play your part the best that you can. Be the best you that you can. And that will affect the whole body. In fact, it will not only affect the whole body, it will affect those that aren't part of the body as yet. Because the body will function. It will be a healthy body. And you know what? When things are healthy, they grow. You know, people talk about church growth and things like that. I prefer to talk about healthy churches. Because I know when a church functions properly, it grows. So I encourage you to be part of that growth. Be part of that healthy body. So I want you to do that. And I want you to, again, encourage you to be the best you that you can be. So often, we want to be like somebody else. And you see a lot of some of the programs on television these days, you know, kind of the X Factor. And Britain's Got Talent, very often when they come on there, they're actually trying to be somebody else. They'll sing the songs or be like somebody else, a star, a pop star, or things like that, and they want to be like somebody else. But God wants you to be used, to be you. A few years ago, there's a program, I think it was called Stars in Your Eyes, and they kind of come through this big mist thing like that, and they say, you know, who was it? I forget the guy who used to host the program, Jeremy, I can't remember. He said, today I'm going to be so-and-so. And they come out dressed like their pop star. But be you. I really want to encourage you to be you and to work out the gifts and the abilities and the heart that God has given you. As I read my scripture, and I just want to a few pieces. I want to say God has made you. He's planned you. He has a purpose for your life. He's put certain abilities and desires in your heart. And he loves it when you work those out. He didn't make you to be anybody else. And I want to encourage you to do that. Last week, we looked at some of the things that I believe stop us being that person that God wants us to be. And yet, not last week, last time I was down, a couple of weeks ago. And things like disappointment and fear and guilt and bitterness, they will stop us. They will be the blocks in our lives that stop us fulfilling what God wants us to do. And so often, the things around us will stop us fulfilling what God wants us to be and to do. And we've kind of looked at the negatives, but this morning I want to look at some positives to help us as individuals and help us as a church to be the best you that you can be. And so I want to read this morning a few verses from Colossians chapter 3. I'm reading from the NIV. Colossians chapter 3. Verses 1 to 4. It says, since then you have been raised with Christ, set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above, not earthly things. For you died and your life is now hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you will also you will also appear with him in glory. See, was it that word heart again? Set your hearts on the things of God. Set your hearts, set your life on the things that God has put within you. Set it. It's kind of the firmness about it. Can you understand? Can you see those words? He says, set your hearts. Then we move on to verse 15. If I can find it. Yes. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. See that word hearts again? Since you are members of one body, you were called to peace. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and you sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts. And whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to the Father through him. So how do we get over those what I'll call heart blockers, the disappointments, the fears and things like that, the rejection, the security of our lives? How do we get over those type of things? Well, I think there's a number of things we can do. And the first thing, and I want to be very, very practical here this morning, the first thing we do to unblock our hearts is, and it's very simple, is just to open it to God. And I mean fully open it to God. Just like perhaps when you were saved and God came into your life and you gave your, we often say we gave our heart to him and we opened up our lives. And in those days, we would have done anything for him. Because God came into our lives, he gave us a new heart, a new life. We were kind of running, if you like, in our spiritual life. And we'd have done anything. And sometimes we need just to step back into that position and open up our hearts wide again and mean it. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 15 says, Paul says to the church in Corinth, open wide your hearts. And the reason I say that, because I know when we do that and open up our lives to God, I would say nobody can change our hearts like God can. He did it when we were saved, and he can continue to do it. But sometimes we know as we go on in life, our hearts get bruised, they get hurt. But nobody can change our hearts and refresh our hearts and give us, if you like, a new heart. Nobody can do it like Jesus. As I said earlier, God has placed these passions in our hearts and he wants to see them come out. And sometimes we just need to go back to first base and say, Lord, I'm here. I'm opening up my heart to you. Refresh me. Renew me. Mend my heart so that I can work out those desires, those passions, that thing that you've, or things that you have put within me. Because God does that. He molded us together in our mother's womb. I believe we've all got passions. We've all got hearts. We've all got abilities. We've all got gifts. But you know, unless they're under the control of God, they will be misused or abused or misapplied, misdirected, and they can be wasted. See, I don't believe God gave us those desires, those passions, for our own benefit. They were for his benefit. And unless we use them for his purpose, as I say, they will be misused or wasted and misapplied. And you can see it in the world around us. People with great talents, great abilities, great gifts, and they use it for their own purposes. And I think that must break God's heart. You often see and you read stories that, you know, film stars, pop stars, and things like that, they get to the top of the tree. They've used their God-given gifts and abilities, and they get to the top of the tree, and they look around and they realise there's nothing there. their lives actually are empty. And I know that if we don't use our gifts and abilities that God has given us, we won't feel fulfilled. Colossians 3:23, we didn't read it, but it was later on in the chapter, says these words: whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord. As working for the Lord. Whatever you do, do it for the Lord. That doesn't mean to say we're going to become full-time Christian ministers. I don't mean that. But if we do it for the Lord and use our gifts and abilities and that thing that perhaps God has put within our heart, you will feel fulfilled and you will see God's kingdom expanded and you will enjoy it. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 says, honour the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops, then your barns will be filled to overflowing and your vats will brim with new wine. Honour the Lord with your gifts, with your abilities, honour him, and you'll see your life grow and expand. You know, Jesus told a parable about a man building bigger barns, but he soon passed away. But I looked in my Bible and the title, you know, in the Bible, it's not in the Word of God, but it kind of headed out that portion, it said, The Rich Fool. And it seems hard, but if you don't use your gifts, what the Bible is saying, really, if you don't use your gifts and abilities working for the Lord, the Bible says we're foolish. That seems very hard to say, but that's what the Word of God infers. And you may be here this morning, you say, well, I've lost my passion. I've lost my passion for God. I would say that means you're a bit disconnected from God, because God is a passionate God. And as we get connected to him, as we spend time with him, as we seek him, as we read his word, I believe, and absorb it, I believe the passion will come back. I believe God will put passion into our lives. When you spend time with God on a daily basis, when you get with him regularly, get plugged in, I don't think you can stop being passionate for the things that God is passionate for. If you hang out with God, you're going to be passionate. He's passionate for you, and you will understand that passion. You know, the word enthusiasm comes from the Greek word enthos. En meaning in, and theos meaning God. So if you're in God, you will be enthusiastic. So my encouragement to you this morning is to open your hearts afresh to God. I don't know where you are with God this morning, but my encouragement to you is to open up your heart afresh and mean it. Allow God into your heart afresh. He will give you passion. He will give you guidance. He will help you to be the best you that you can be. And the question is, are we going to do it? The second thing, if we do open up our lives to God afresh, we have to let him begin to mold us and remodel us and reshape us, perhaps. Because I know from life, you know, our hearts get hurt, they get broken, they get damaged. But God can heal that. He can remold us. Psalm 34 says, the Lord is close to the brokenhearted and he saves those who are crushed in spirit. And God will do that. He will remold us, he will make us, he'll make us more passionate. He'll allow the gifts and the abilities he's put within us to come out. He can heal our hearts. He can remold us and set our hearts free again. David says in Psalm 119, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. As I was going to think about this, I remembered, they all say you're getting old when you remember old songs. But it was a Hillsong song. We may do it later on, but called The Potter's Hands. And one of the verses there, or the refrain, is, "Take me, mould me, use me, fill me. I give my life to the potter's hands. Hold me, guide me, lead me, walk beside me. I give my life into the potter's hands." And what does the potter do? He takes clay and molds it into something. And if we read God's word, it says that he wants to do that. In fact, the word God uses for us is his masterpiece. And God wants to make us and mold us into his masterpiece. And he can only do that, the potter can only do that when the clay is pliable. Sometimes we get hard and bitter, and God can't then mold us. Got mice. But that can't, when we're bitter and hard, he can't do that. He wants us to be pliable. It's easy to say, but as I read back in Colossians chapter 3, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart. The third thing we can do ourselves is, in a sense, what I would say, listen to our heart. What is our heart saying to us? What is God putting into our hearts? Listen to our hearts. Spend time with God and allow God to speak into our lives. Listen to what he's doing. And the problem is, and we've perhaps alluded to it before, life seems to be going so fast. It seems to be so full that we don't spend time listening to what God is putting within our hearts, what God is saying. We can get so wrapped up with the things of life, whether they're good or bad. And you know, I often think, you know, when Jesus said, you know, "I have come to give you life and life to the full," we interpret that as, "I have come to give you a full life." That's true in one sense, but what is it full of? And one thing the devil will do, he can actually fill your life with good things, and that can actually stop God getting in. We're so busy, not with bad things, sometimes with good things. Good things of life. But it stops us allowing God to have an influence in our lives. You know, the Bible says, "Be still and know that I am God." Be still and know. Be able to recognize, able to understand, able to appreciate what God is saying. And sometimes we do need to just take that step back. And in today's life, that's so difficult for a lot of people. You know, the working day seems to have got longer for most people. And so other things are squeezed out. But I want to encourage us, I'm going to be practical this morning. Sometimes we have to be quite firm with ourselves and take time to hear what God is saying. Psalm 86 says, "Teach me your way, Lord, that I may rely on your faithfulness. Give me an undivided heart, a heart that's for you." Can I say this morning that the world will carry on even if you stop? I've seen it in the past, and I've probably been guilty of it. I had a friend of mine, he was an elder in our last church, and he still is, but he worked up in London, and he was up at kind of 4 o'clock every morning catching the train, back at 7:30, 8 o'clock at night, working weekends. He actually felt, and he almost verbalised it. Well, London, he worked for London Transport. He almost said, "Well, London Transport would grind to a halt if I didn't do this." You know, he felt he was an important person, but he actually almost verbalised, "Well, you know, almost the city will grind to a halt if I'm not there." And then he was ill with stress and And the doctor said, if you don't retire, he was almost retirement. He said, if you don't give up work, you will kill yourself. So he actually took the advice of his doctor, gave up work. And you know what? London Transport's still going. The city is still going. And we think we're so indispensable. But isn't it better to serve a God who is faithful and you know, the kingdom of God will go on forever and ever. And sometimes we just need to take a sensible look at ourselves and our lifestyle and actually be quite firm. Romans 12 says, for by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourselves more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourselves with sober judgment. And sometimes we need to do that. We need to do that. Be honest in the estimate of yourselves. And sometimes we just need to take a step back and allow God to speak into our lives. And God will reveal those things, He will refresh those things, He will remodel our hearts. And I believe then God will enable you. It's one of the things that God will do to enable you to be the best you that you can be. And you'll be doing things for God out of design rather than out of duty. I remember as I was studying for this, I remember an old pastor said to me, he said these words and it reflects that. He said, I just wished that years ago I learned that we should serve God out of design, not out of duty. And when we deserve God out of design, those things that He's put within our hearts for us to be us and you to be you, then you do what you're doing out of design. Not out of our design, but out of God's design. Sometimes, and I've been there, you just do it out of duty. Or out of what we feel we should be doing. But when we do it out of God's design, and you know that God has called you, God has given you the ability, God has given you the gift, God has given you, put His plan into your life, it's so much easier. It's so much easier. I wish, as a pastor for 30 years, I wish I'd have understood that sooner. I really do. Not that it was a complete duty, but I wish I'd have appreciated it sooner. I can remember when God first called me into the ministry, and I was, the car had broken down on the motorway between Hollingbourne and Maidstone, if you know that area, and where I lived was Bearstead, and at the time, we was in the main church in Maidstone before we were planted out in Bearstead. And sitting there, broken down, and I had nothing in the car, nothing to do. And I thought, what can I do? I thought, well, I can pray. And I don't think we just prayed because we haven't got anything else to do, but I didn't have anything else to do, so I prayed. And I started praying for the church and for the house group. And I can't say it was an audible voice. I can't say that. But something so strong in my mind, in my thinking, I felt God say, you're going to pastor these people. And it was a bit of a shock. I thought, well, what do you mean pastor the people? Because the church wasn't there. There wasn't a church there. And then within probably a year or so, the leadership of the church decided to plant a church in Bearstead. I was one of the leaders there, an eldership team, and then ended up leading the church. And God had put that in my heart, that kind of design in my heart to do it. Over the period of time, two other prophetic words, quite significant, drew me in. And I knew, almost from day one of that church planting out, that that's where God had designed me to be. And so it didn't become a duty, it didn't become a chore. never woke up in the morning, and you have ups and downs in church life, as David will know, you know, you drive you barmy at times, but I never had, you know, I never got up in the morning and thought, oh, not another day, because I was doing it by design and not by duty, doing it by the things that God had put within my life. That was my path, and it may well be different for you. But I say to everybody here this morning, especially to the young people, and that means anybody under 69, but also to the older people as well, don't waste your life on a path that wasn't intended by God. Don't waste your time. Don't waste your life. Do what God wants you to do. We serve God out of design, not out of duty. And then it becomes a delight when we do that. Very simple again, very practical. If we've got this far, I encourage you to perhaps even look at the option. When God has called you for something, just look at the options. Talk to people. Confide in people. Confide in your pastor. Confide in somebody you, and perhaps an older Christian who you trust and know. And share your thoughts. Share your desires. Allow them to encourage you or direct you. In Proverbs 19 it says, desire, that's your hearts or your ambitions and your goals, desire without knowledge is not good. So even if God has spoken to you, you know where God is leading you. Take advice. Get help from godly people. Don't be irresponsible. Don't be careless, but take advice. Encourage people to encourage you. I read just recently, it says in America, 95% of all business startups fail within 5 years because they had the desire but not the knowledge. And I think it's the same with the kingdom of God. People can have the desire, but you need advice. You need knowledge. You need people to come alongside you. A few years ago, we were having a holiday in Spain, and the villa that we were living in, or part of the villa, the other half was lived in by an English person. And his job was to... He worked for a brewery firm in this country, and his job in Spain was to go and talk and encourage people who'd gone out to Spain to start up businesses, pubs, clubs, and things like that. And probably, his words were, again, 75% of them go bust within a few years. It's a good idea, but they probably didn't have the knowledge to do it properly. And he was encouraging people to move back to England and manage pubs and clubs and that in England. That was his job. Because he knew people had gone out there, good idea, oh, sun on my back, you know, holiday environment, but they hadn't gone with the knowledge of how to actually make it work. I read this about Rick Warren. Many of you know Rick Warren, runs Saddleback Church in America, written lots of books, Purpose-Driven Lives, Purpose-Driven Church, and things like that. He said these are his words. He says, in 1979, God had put in my heart a love, a desire, a passion to start a church and to build a church that would be a model of what church is really meant to be, a biblical model, and to build a healthy, large model for our nation. What did I do? I didn't go out and just do it. First, I read everything I could. I read every book in print about the church, 72 books in total. I wrote personally to 100 of the largest churches in the United States and asked a series of questions. I actually wrote a letter to every pastor of churches that were existing in the area I wanted to plant, and I asked them a series of questions. I went and studied other churches. I put myself under mentors. I listened. I learned. I studied the areas of Seattle, San Francisco, San Diego, and Orange County, so that when I came here in Saddleback to start a church in January 1980, I didn't just have the desire, I knew what I was doing. I didn't have any money, no members, no building, no support, but I knew what I was doing. So you start by looking at all the options. He knew, you know, he had that desire, he had that heart, but he didn't just go off and do it. He took advice. He says there, he got people to mentor him. So I encourage you, if there's something in your heart that you feel God is got hold of you for, that God has taken hold of you for, share it with people that you trust, share it with people that you know, share it with people that can help you. Proverbs 15 says, plans fall for lack of counsel, but with many advisors, they will succeed. Talk to people, perhaps have done it before. Talk to people in the church. That's one of the reasons we have church. And maybe you just volunteer to do something along the lines of what you feel God is speaking to you. See, this is very practical stuff here this morning, and we have to be practical sometimes, because we don't live up here. We live with our feet on the ground. And we have to live life. And we can talk about kind of spiritual stuff, and that's right, but sometimes we just have to work it out where the rubber literally hits the road. And if you've got this far, there comes a time when you just have to launch out in faith and believe God. And if you're running with God, then God will bless you. Why wouldn't he? There's going to be a fear factor, of course, when you're launching out and trusting God and living by faith, perhaps. It's a bit like, you know, in a circus with a trapeze. You know, you kind of swing off on a trapeze, and there's that moment when you've got to let go of one thing before you grab hold of the next one. And that's where trusting God comes. And that's where God will come on the scene, if you like. Somebody once said, you don't know God is all you need until God's all you've got. So really, just to finish here this morning, Psalm 37 says these words, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desire of your heart. Delight yourself. Put God first. Say to God, you're number one. And it says, he will give you the desires of your heart. And who's put those desires in your heart? God has. So it's a full circle. God will give you those things that he's already put in your heart. So for me, it's a win-win situation. And you know, when you do that, you stop worrying about kind of status or any significance of this that this world can offer you. You stop competing, trying to climb a ladder, and start enjoying the life that God wants you to live. And you live a life with meaning, because it's the life that God wants you to lead. I saw this statement, and I don't know where it came from. It says, meaning trumps what the world has to offer every day of the week. And the guy also said, it's always more fulfilling to have something to live for than have a whole lot to live on. Say that again. It's always more fulfilling to have something to live for than have a whole lot to live on. And I guess, as I close, really, the big question is, are we going to be prepared to be the people that God wants us to be, that God intended us to be? When he knits us together in our mother's womb, all the days were written in his book before one of them came to pass. And are we going to do that? I started off this series because I was challenged personally a few months ago in a conference where the guy speaking said these words, or read from Acts chapter 2, where it says, old men will dream dreams and young men will see visions. And that's not gender specific or age specific, I believe, because it says he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, both male and female, etc., etc. And I was looking at some young people. And in fact, the auditorium was almost full of young people, certainly younger than me. And I thought, what potential if they picked up God's dream for them, God's heart for them, what potential there would be in the UK. And as I was sitting there thinking about that, I felt God say to me, okay, what's your dream then? And he said, old men will dream dreams. I felt God say, what's your dream? And I believe God has put something in my heart. I think I was already fulfilling it. As you know, I've been asked to kind of be a pastor to pastors in Kent and East Sussex. And that was part of my dream, to see, for over the years, nothing relationally had gone, and it was my dream to see people relating to one another and local pastors strengthened and built up. And I was talking to somebody last night and I said, I am. He said, how's it all going? And I actually used the words, I said, you know what? I said, I think, getting all emotional, don't know why. I said, you know what? I think I'm fulfilling my dream. I think I'm fulfilling my dream. Because over the recent months, I've been in touch with pastors and leaders, and things have been said and things have happened, and just feel that something is happening and I'm able to help and assist and what have you. And I actually said it last night without thinking about this, it just came to my mind. I just said, you know what, I think I'm fulfilling a dream. And I pray that will carry on for some time. You know, it's a season in my life. So I encourage you to seek God. Open up your heart. Allow God to remould it. It may mean a bit of remoulding. Is that the right word? Is that a word? I don't know. But certainly remodel. Whatever age you are. I'm 70 next year. I know you won't believe that, but I am. But God's, you know, over the last couple of years, God has just put another dream in my heart. I had a dream of building the church up, and when we started the church, we had 20 people, and when I kind of handed over, we had 120. Now, that's not revival, but it's growth. And 90% of those people were new converts over the period of time, because that's what we're about. And now, as I was challenged, that's just a few months ago, what's your dream? What's your vision? What has God put within your heart? That desire within your heart. Paul's that. You know, Paul said, that's the one thing I do, is take hold of my that. What's your that? I don't know. That's for you. That's between you and God. But I encourage you to take hold of it. To be the best you that God wants you to be. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Have we got a couple of minutes? Could we play that song? It's a song, I'm going to put it over on it's a, you don't have to play it. Can you? All right. Well, I've got it on a video if you want. There it is there. We'll sing along with that. Or it's up there, or do you want to play it? I don't mind. You going to play it? As we sing this song, have you got the words? Okay. Just as we sing this song, I'll just ask this morning, as we've just finished this series, that I want to encourage you to live your dream, whatever that is. And I'd like to pray for anybody here this morning who just needs that bit of help, that bit of desire. You want to take that step forward, you might struggle with it, whatever it may be. It may be you're not even clear what that pulls that is in your life, and you want some help. I'd like to pray for you this morning. So, I'd like to pray for you this morning. So if we sing this song, and I'll just be at the front here. If you want to come forward, that's fine. I don't want to put pressure on anybody. But I just had in my heart, kind of driving here this morning, just to help you. Or for God to help you. Amen.